Joshua chapter 14. Been reading through Joshua, now into Judges in my daily reading. I'm reminded of lots of different stories that have real good application, and wanted to go through this tonight with you. And I'm encouraged as I read it, and I'll never forget when C.T. Spear first preached it at a family camp years ago across the road, and really enjoyed the message, and I hope it, young and old alike will listen, because both of you can, both groups can get something out of this tonight. So Joshua chapter 14 and chapter 15 is kind of the ending climax of a story of a man named Caleb, and nothing on purpose, but our Caleb's celebrating his birthday today, and that is why I called our firstborn son Caleb, because the Bible said in several places that Caleb wholly followed the Lord, or then fully followed the Lord. And the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, Joshua being more prominently known because he became the leader of the whole nation after Moses, but Caleb's an interesting guy, and both of them were leaders in a time where 12 spies were sent out back in the book of Numbers 13 and 14. And the 10 of the 12 came back negatively reporting how everything looked so pessimistically bleak and they couldn't possibly take over the land because it was a good land and it was beautiful and there was grapes and milk and honey flowing, but there were giants and there were problems and they can't see it. And here Joshua and Caleb tried to still the people and tell them, no, any problem that's out there is just going to be bread for us and we can handle it. And yet the people, the majority, convinced the people to think of the negative news report instead of the positive, like we see today. And so they doubted God, and they followed the advice of the 10 spies who were pessimistic and negative. And what did that cost them? Their 40 years of wandering and dying in the wilderness, as we have been talking about recently. And that just, it cost them the ability to walk into the promised land. And none of them, 20 years old and older, got to do that except for Joshua and Caleb. And the rest of them died off. And God basically said, since you don't believe, I'm going to allow your youngins, the ones you said were going to be a prey for the enemies, I'm going to allow your youngins, the 20 and younger, to go see the promised land, and you won't. And that's exactly what happened. So we're at the end of that now in the book of Joshua. And Joshua basically is, a lot of it's all about dividing up the land and giving everybody their portion of the promised land. Last week we talked about how that they were going in, and then they conquered Jericho and the other cities, and then they took over the land. And here comes this 85-year-old man. His name's Caleb. And he comes walking in. I don't think he hobbled in. I don't think he limped in or was on a cane. I think he was a spry young man. The Bible says that even at age 85, he was not an 85-year-old man. He was an 85-year young man. And so in Joshua chapter 14, and verse number 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how that the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh and the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, the giants, and the land had rest from war. Caleb was 85 years young. Everyone else but Joshua was 20 years older at least than them, or younger. 20 years younger or at least than them, or even younger than that. And you know what Caleb did? Caleb said, I want the mountain that I was walking on 45 years ago. Now, remember what the biggest problem was 45 years ago? The giants. Guess where the giants lived? Right where Caleb wanted. And so 85-year-old Caleb said, I want the giants. I want to fight the giants. I don't just want the token piece of land. Here, Mr. 85-year-old grandpa, here, go ahead. We'll wheel you in your wheelchair and you can experience your glory days. No, I want the giants and I'll take it. And God's kept me spry and young up to this time. And he's kept his promise and I'll take it. You know what? I believe God wants us all to fight giants. I don't believe that David was the only one that was supposed to ever kill a giant. I think we're all supposed to have giants in our lives that God wants to help us fight and conquer and show us what he can do and what he can do if we'll be willing to follow. He chose the most difficult area, but he chose the area. You know where Hebron is? I don't know if you recognize the name, but if you were to go back in the book of Genesis, and you don't need to turn there now, but Genesis chapter 23, Genesis chapter 25, you find out that that's where Abraham buried Sarah, and that's where Abraham was buried. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 50, that that's where Jacob buried Leah, and that's where they buried Jacob. Abraham and Sarah, Jacob and Leah were all buried there. That was the patriarch location. And Caleb said, I think that's probably why Caleb was walking around there in the first place, because he probably knew the book of Genesis and knew that that's where Father Abraham was at. And that just was special land to him. And so the giants were there, but so was God, right? I mean, is there any place that God isn't there? And like I already said about my own son tonight, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. I'm not sure about my own son, but that's why I named him Caleb, because when I was reading years ago as a young man, before I was even married, wholly, you read it 3 or 4 times just in that chapter. He wholly followed the Lord. Now, what's really neat about this, and I want you to turn to chapter 15 and go to verse 13. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sepher. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. So Caleb had smitten the three giants, and they go up to the Kirjath-Sepher area, and I don't know if Caleb maybe just needed a breather or what, or maybe Caleb had a follower. Caleb knew there was somebody tagging along, and Caleb said, looking at this younger man, anybody takes Kirjath-Sepher, you can marry Aksah. Aksah. Aksah was probably the number one young lady in the land. Aksah was prime. She was a prize. And here it says in verse 17, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksah's daughter to wife. Now, you read that quickly, as I have for years, until I heard a message preached on it years ago and helped me to think. A lot of times we read our Bibles too quick. You read that verse, we'll read it again real quick. It says here, verse 17, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksah's daughter to wife. Now, what should stick out to us? What should cause us to stop and say, wait a minute, Othniel, the brother of the son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother. Well, let me ask you a question. Where was Kenaz? Probably Kenaz was buried out in the wilderness somewhere. Because Kenaz wasn't promised to live. Kenaz is probably one of the ones that doubted his own brother's report. Who do you think probably raised Othniel or became Othniel's example. I think somebody picked the song example tonight. Who became Othniel's example? Caleb. I think Othniel became Caleb's little protege, maybe Caleb's little project, and he raised him as a, I don't know if Caleb had sons. I don't remember. I know he had a daughter named Aksa, and Othniel wanted to marry her. Othniel and Aksa were probably teenagers back when the spies were all having their issue. And that follower that followed Caleb hears him say, "You take Kirjath-Sefer, and you can marry my daughter." That's awesome. So Othniel takes up the challenge. Turn with me over to Judges chapter number 1. Judges chapter number 1. This story, this same story, almost word for word, that you find in Joshua 15, you can find it also in Judges chapter number 1. But I have a reason to go to Judges chapter number 1, so let's do it. Judges chapter number 1. Now, if you were Othniel, and you saw your own dad die because he disobeyed God, but you saw your uncle Caleb live to be 85 years old and still not even look like he was 85 years old, live to be 85 years old and he goes up there and kills three giants. Wow. And you're probably, I mean, Caleb in your mind, if you're Othniel, Caleb's probably the man. You know, everybody thinks Joshua's pretty cool because he's the captain, but that Caleb, he's something. And I think Othniel just tagged along and followed Caleb everywhere he went. And I believe he saw Caleb's courage, and it was encouraging. Hey, adults. Hey, older folks. We all need to have some courage. We need to have some ruggedness and some toughness. We need to, in times like these, be able to just say, I don't care. We're just going to do it the right way. And just do it. And just be raw-boned about it and have some toughness about us. We need to show the younger generation, you know what? There's some real silliness going on, and it doesn't need to be. And we just need to set the record straight and show that we can trust the Lord. And I think Othniel learned to trust Caleb's God. I think he did. And so the Bible says that he took Kirjath-Sefer. In Judges chapter number 1, verse number 12, and Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. And he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. Word for word, just as we read it before. He took Kirjath-Sefer and he won Aksa. But you know what's really neat about that? The reason why it's in the book of Judges, repeated as it was in Joshua, is because if you keep reading chapter 3, you'll find out that the very first judge that they had after Joshua died and Caleb died eventually, the very first man to be a judge over them was a guy named Othniel. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he was mighty and he was a warrior. You know what? We need more Calebs to influence some more Othniels. We need some more Calebs out there that will influence and be a mentor to some Othniels. Hey, listen, I don't think it's by accident. And before we're done tonight, I want to sing this song again, Be an Example. And I appreciate the guy who picked it out. And I hope he's wanting to be an example. I hope that we all learn to be an example. Hey, are there some children in here and out there whose parents might still be wandering around the wilderness or dead in the wilderness? And they need some of us. Maybe that Othniel's not my kid. Why should I bother? Yeah, but Othniel's dad failed him. Othniel needs somebody to come along and bring him along, right? Othniel needs somebody to say, hey, Othniel, maybe you don't have a dad to look up to anymore, but follow me, I'll show you some things. I'll teach you what God's teaching me. Let me tell you something. I love the Othniels. And I hope the young people in here understand, as I was saying last week, it doesn't matter if your parents are in the wilderness. God can still use you. It doesn't matter if your parents don't get to go in the promised land. God wants you to. I love the fact that there's some young ladies that look up to that older young lady back there. And I hope they want to be like her. Not because I think she's perfect. But I hope that they say, you know, she has a boyfriend But they never do what some of those other girls do. She has a boyfriend, but she's not like some of the other girls I see. I hope that these young girls see that. I hope the young men look up to some older men and say, you know, I'd like to be more like that man. I'd like to follow in his footsteps and maybe even do greater conquests than he was able to do because of things in the past that weren't even his fault. And you know what, folks? We need some more Calebs. Because I guarantee you right now, there's a bunch of Othniels out there. There is. We had some here again this afternoon. Girls and boys alike. And we need to take it seriously that they come. And be encouraged that they want to come and they want to listen. And I really believe that some of them really, really listen more than we think they do. And they really pay attention more. It never ceases to amaze me. There's times when young people or old people, but young people will say, Pastor Matt, remember when you said or you did? And at the time I thought nobody noticed it. I remember times when I told the dumbest dad joke. You know what a dad joke is. I told the dumbest dad joke in the world. Nobody laughed. But I've had kids a year or two later repeat the same dumb dad joke and act like it was hilarious. But at the time they wouldn't laugh about it. And I realized why did I just tell you that? Because I realized, you know what? They pay more attention and they listen more than you think they do. And so here's this young man walking around with this Uncle Caleb and learning. Now I know that Oxa would have technically been his cousin, but back then in this time, that was not a big deal. But I want to keep reading here. In Judges chapter 1, Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath Sepher and taketh it to him will I give Oxa's daughter to wife. Verse 13. And Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took him, and he gave him Oxa, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. This Oxa wasn't just a pretty girl, I don't think. This Oxa was a strong girl. I don't mean biceps. I mean she was a virtuous girl, and she had pull. She had some movability. Because I don't know how many times you'll read it in the Bible, but here it says right here, and I'll read it to you again. Verse 14, when she came to Othniel, to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and read between the lines here because I think it's going to be okay for me to do it. I think that maybe Caleb said, all right, Othniel, I keep in my promise. There's your bride. But that's about all Othniel got was his bride. And I think maybe Oxa, it's so romantic. Someone just captured a whole city just so they could win me. It's so romantic. But instead of being all Twitter-pated and just, this girl had some sense. And she said to Othniel, hey, don't just be satisfied with me. What are we going to use for land? What are we going to farm with? So, Othniel, come on. And now, I'm sure she's the daughter. She knows daddy better than even Othniel knows daddy. And she's the daughter, and she's saying, come on. And she moved him. Listen to me. There's nothing wrong with a good woman who moves you. There's everything wrong with a bad woman who moves you. All right? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. You find the right woman, a wise woman buildeth her house. The foolish plucketh it down with their hands. You find a woman that's right with God, and she has the ability to motivate you in the right way. That's a good thing. And I just want to read between the lines here and say, Oxa is saying, hey, Othniel, I need you to go back and tell Dad we need some land. I mean, you know, the honeymoon's nice, but you know he's got it. He's 85 years old, and he's not going to use all that. Go ahead and ask him. Oh, come on, you can do it. Ask him. He's my dad. Ask him. I'm moving you to. Come on. You want breakfast? I don't know what she said. Now, there's men in here that have wives, and you know that sometimes your wife is right, but she's got to maybe add a little pressure to get you to understand that. Now, ladies, I'm not saying that's always right. There are times when I've said to my wife, no. But there are times where my wife has said, I think you need to do this. And I know she's right. She moved him to ask of her father a field. And I think often you'll ask, sir, would you mind if we have some land? And I think he probably gave them some land. And Othniel went back home and said, all right, I got some land. And she said, I'm reading between the lines, but I'm going to show you why I'm doing it. She said, well, but that's not enough. That's not good enough. He's got springs. Now, out here where we live, water is important. I'll never forget years ago when some people came out from Florida and moved out here. And they bought Custer Highlands property on the internet. Never seen it. Stopped at Dan Cruz's shop and said, hey, we just moved out here from Florida. We're looking for this address. Custer Highlands Edgemont address. Which way do we go? Dan said, oh, you need to go west that way towards Wyoming. Oh, okay. And they, oh, by the way, is there a Walmart between here and there? No. And they took off with their U-Haul and their motorcycle behind. You ever been to Custer Highlands? You don't drive a motorcycle on Custer Highlands. And they took off with their U-Haul, pulling a trailer with a motorcycle on it. And they went off down the road. Dun, 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 dun. And I thought to myself, these people are from Florida. And when you're in Florida, there's water everywhere. You dig two shovels full of dirt and water pops out. And they're going to Custer Highlands. You can dig for a year, you'll never find water. And Oxa said, hold on a second. That's land, but we don't just need land. We need land that has water. And so I'm going to read you the rest of this. Came to pass, verse 14, she came to him, she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off from her ass. And Caleb said to her, what wilt thou? Now, I read that pretty fast, but she lighted from off her ass, her donkey. She rode up to Dad's porch. Maybe he's sitting on the porch whittling a stick, sitting in the rocking chair. And up comes this cloud of dust. And she flies off of her mule and lands. Oxa, what do you want? She said, we need water with our land. What wilt thou? Verse 15. And she said unto him, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. I'm going to stop here for a minute. I'm just going to say this. I think everybody here knows this. I'm going to say it. My daughter's more aggressive than all three of my sons. She is. I'm not putting my sons down. Some of them are pretty ticked off. I just said that. That's a challenge. I just threw down the gauntlet right there. But you know what? Nothing wrong with that. Now, here's the deal. If you marry an Oxa, you better be ready to go toe-to-toe and meet the challenge. You can't let Oxa just run the show. All right? And I do believe, I heard it years ago, and I think it's true, we tend to marry our equal. We tend to marry, you know, the match that we need, if we're right with the Lord, especially. But she was, you know, she was the daughter, see. She dared to go where Othniel wouldn't go because she was the daughter. See what I'm saying? That's a picture of us with our Heavenly Father. I mean, some of us, we're saved, right? We're saved, But do you have all that you know you need? God, I need more than just, I need, if I don't have water, it's not going to be green. And unfortunately, some of us are too timid or too unbelieving to ask for more. And she came and said, I don't need just land. I want springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs, the lower springs. He gave her the springs up on top and the springs down below. And if you've ever been over to that part of the country, it's just like here. You got to have some kind of flowing water somewhere, because it doesn't come uphill very much in rivers. It either rains on you or you've got a spring somewhere. I want to encourage you to be like her with our own Heavenly Father. To be impetuously, to just go back and knock again and again. For your importunity to give as much as you need. And that as young men, that you desire to have a wife that's this way. And ladies, young ladies, that you desire to be a young lady who's a real prize. Not just... Anybody here reading this story get the impression the ox was just, you know, just a model? Or do you get the impression she was more than that? She was a virtuous young woman like Proverbs 31 talks about. I want to encourage you, young ladies here, young girls, I want to encourage you with that tonight. To look up to that kind of young lady and be like that. I want to encourage you, Othniels, to meet the challenge. If God's given you a wife, to make sure that you're still the leader. That you're not more apathetic and lethargic than your own wife. That's not a good thing. Now, Othniel became a great leader. He was the first judge of Israel. He was a mighty warrior, the Bible says. But I've heard it said many times, behind a great man is a great woman. And then I want to encourage all of you in here that are either white-haired or you color it, or it's gone. I want to encourage you to pay attention to the Othniels in your life and the oxes in your life, whether they're related to you or not. Imagine this. Imagine if you took an investment and instead of giving it to Edward Jones or whoever else on Wall Street, imagine if you said, I'm going to lay aside some funds and I'm going to ask maybe my pastor or church if we could set up some kind of an account. And every time there's an Othniel that comes through that doesn't have a parent, but there's something special about them and they want to serve God, that fund is there for when that church determines that young person could use some land and some springs. I don't mean literally, but you know what I'm saying. You say, well, is that a good investment? Well, you tell me. I haven't seen Edward Jones advertising any special rates right now. I'd rather give $1,000 to an Othniel than to have my broker tell me it went poof this month. It's gone. As a lot of people have heard. See what I'm saying? Invest in some of them. Invest in somebody. Invest your time. Invest your life. Invest. And be thankful. I'm so thankful. We've got some people in here. You're faithful to go pick up some young people that have no blood relation to you whatsoever. And pretty soon, you're going to see some reward on your investment. Pretty soon, you're going to see them getting baptized. You might even see their parents get saved or baptized. You might even see some really cool stuff. And you had a part in that. You invested in that. Some of you have already seen it. And without anybody saying anything to anybody, and anybody knowing that I was going to talk about Othniel and Caleb and Oxa tonight, I said, who's got a favorite song? First hand up said, I want to sing Be an Example. I want to sing it again. 581. Let's think about the words.